This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
According to the court documents filed on October 10th, the prosecutor in this case spoke with the two correctional officers at the Westville Correctional Facility. These are some of the folks who were brought up in that affidavit that was filed a little while back by the defense, talking about all the Odinism and the fairly fantastical ideas that were presented of, does this stuff check out, and could this possibly be the individuals or the type of individuals who carried out this sort of crime? Accusations against some of the folks at the correctional facility either being involved or somewhat conspiratorial in this, making threats against Richard Allen and also trying to coerce him into making an admission of guilt to his wife and to his mother. They are saying, we have nothing to do with Odinism, while at the same time recognizing that, yes, we did have patches on our uniforms and we got rid of those patches and we were asked to get rid of them a little while back in September of 2023, when everyone was bringing to light, hey, this is kind of weird. There's Odinism patches on a bunch of these guards and there's these accusations of Odinism with this crime. Like, okay, take the bad shirts off, take the bad patches off. I don't know. What's your thoughts on this thus far, where, you know, optics are a lot on this? Just because you're wearing a patch to some sort of Norse religion doesn't mean you're a murderer. But I don't know. It just, I guess, adds more to the mystique or the mystery of all this.
This one is a lot of fun. not the fun from the, obviously, the tragic loss of life. But this case is just, you got to hand it to the defense on this one. I mean, so here's my two thoughts on this. One, I think it's from what we know, because I know there's a gag order on the prosecution, and that's what's come up a few times on this. So they can't say whether they do or don't have DNA that ties him to the crime scene. The only thing that we know of that's in the public domain right now that ties him to the crime scene is a bullet that was expelled from his weapon that he owns. Potentially, he was at the crime scene earlier that day or during that time period wearing similar clothes that's been described on the video. Extremely circumstantial evidence from what we know from defense, not from the prosecution. Side point. From that point alone, it looks like it's not, you know, it's a stretch, because it's a real stretch. It's like, why him? And then the defense comes up with this Odinism side of things, which kind of fits a lot of things we're saying. And boy, it's kind of sexy and cool, and it's really grabbed our attention. And I'm not saying not on that, but the longer I was looking at this and still looking at this, let's apply our arc of life to this scenario. I do this with individuals. I do this with countries. I do this with spies. It's a very good way to kind of look at things, to kind of predict the reasonableness behind what people claim or what is going on in life.
Sure.
So let's look at this. In all we know and all we've seen and all we've been exposed to in the world of true crime, in the world of anything right now, how often have we heard of Odinism and ritual sacrifice?
Not very much until this.
There you go. Yeah. So this would be an extreme outlier from what we have as a behavior arc of murderers.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying if so, it's an extreme outlier. It's interesting. It's fascinating. So I think somewhere in the middle here is what we're going to see. I think what they're going to see when this goes to trial is nothing that we've seen so far, because the Odinism defense is just such an outlier. Granted, it's easy to have things in what the data points are being exposed to kind of fit that narrative, because it is interesting. It's kind of sexy to think of, not sexy in a good way, but sexy in a, it's an unusual thing that we're seeing, which draws our attention, which gets public interest in this area. When with the data points that's been provided, you know, it doesn't quite fit that this individual would be the murderer. So I get all that. But at the same time, though, it is a really extreme outlier. It requires a conspiracy theory, and conspiracy theories very rarely, if ever, hold up, just because they just don't. Granted, I want it to, because from the data points we have, it's a stretch to me that he did it. But we don't know what the prosecution knows.
It is. I mean, you're exactly right. We don't know what they know. And it is a stretch that he did it. But it's also a very big stretch that this whole Odinistic conspiracy has really any sort of, you know, legs to it other than, you know, on the surface. Wow, this is fantastical. Wow, there's a lot of weird clues and pieces here right. that maybe look like they could be part of the puzzle. But I'm personally leaning towards neither of the options
being the actual answer
to any of this. While at the same time, it does make me wonder then, why, who is behind this sort of thing? And is any of this part of a distraction? Because it doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, for the defense of Richard Allen to be saying all these things, unless this is like the only route that they think they can go down. And on the other hand, you know, the fact that Richard Allen is even being charged is a big question too, because why him? Of all the possible suspects, yeah. He seemed like one of the least likely to even be looked at in this. There has been some question in specifically coming out of the defense in the Odinistic document talking about Richard Allen's treatment in prison, comparing it to prison camps. The prison itself has come out, of course, and they're not saying, yes, we're treating him like a prisoner of war. They're like, actually, we're going above and beyond to not use any kind of excessive force with him and really trying to not raise any issues here. While in the same statement saying we've only had to taser him twice. We've had to taser him May 9th and May 25th for not complying with officers' orders. Again, I mean, I don't know if we're giving Richard Allen too much credit because all we know mainly about him is that he was just, you know, working at CVS as a pharmacy tech for a while. And now he's in jail or in prison with these charges hanging above his head. Does that seem normal? We're treating him well, but we've only tased him twice.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of blank spots in here. There absolutely has to be, because like you said, I don't think either of these theories hold up. And so we just looked at the arc of Odin as a plausible defense here and seeing how that's an outlier, because it doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit what we see in our society as murderers doing.
Yeah.
What also doesn't fit in arc is Richard Allen. You look at his background. How do you go from, again, the data points when you just Google him and his background, the things he's done and how he's lived his life? He's a nondescript individual, not in a negative way in any way. He's an average person. I mean, yeah. And to go from average to stabbing two people to death in a very grisly person, I mean, that is the most personalized way you could murder someone. To go from 0 to 100 on that, it does not fit, unless there's something the prosecution knows that we don't know that they've shared yet, which we know they haven't. But that just doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit a pattern behavior for me.
Well, especially too, when you consider he's a father and by all accounts, a fairly good dad, just normal, average person, which makes it even more shocking and crazy if you are a parent. I mean, if you're not a parent, it's not like you just have desires to stab children. But even when you're a parent, you become more aware of children. You become more parental, if you will, and you do look out for others' kids. You know, if like there's some just kids by themselves out in the middle of a dangerous area, one would be like, hey, where's your parents? You want to make sure they're okay, you know, if you're a sane, normal human being. That's another level to this that this doesn't make a lot of sense. But obviously, we've seen many cases where parents do these horrible types of crimes directly to their own children. Another thing that I thought was interesting that the defense does not want submitted. And to me, if there's nothing to hide in any of this or nothing that's going to look bad, you would want this out there, I would think, for some sort of context. But the defense is really fighting these motions to get Richard Allen's mental health records submitted into this for consideration, saying it has nothing to do with the trial, and it may not. But at the same point, if we have a, you know, happy, healthy, normal guy here, I would assume there probably aren't many mental health records on him, because that normally only gets really documented if somebody's going in for something and they're working on some sort of difficulty.
Yeah, when I saw that too, and I even had my own theories behind, or conjectures, I should say, not even theories, just conjectures of him walking alone on bridges and being seen in that area of the woods. And I'm like, here's someone who might be suffering in some way. looking for alone time or needing alone time, or again, the behavior kind of struck me as a little different. And generally when things are a little different, means that someone's suffering is just a good way to say it. And so he might have some medical records for mental health issues or challenges that he's faced, like many people do.
Sure.
And so that might be why they don't want that submitted. And also kind of going back briefly about him as conjecture for murder with the knives. What we've also seen though, too, with murderers that are tied to the healthcare industry in some way. Now, granted, he's a pharmacist, assistant, or technician, but he got licensed in it. So he's got access, although they're very controlled and a lot of accountability, to drugs. Mm-hmm. And we've seen with anyone, whether it's a dentist or a doctor or something like that, if they're going to murder someone, they generally are going the pharmaceutical way and not the violent in-person way. So again, it doesn't fit a pattern of what we've seen from the past. But yeah, so not going for his or trying to defend his medical records. Yeah, if he's got something there that kind of shows that he's got some trauma and been counseled for some trauma in his life or any kind of chemical imbalances in his brain, I would see it totally wanting to be not admissible.
And in that sort of sense, that does make a lot of sense, where it really, we all go through things and you wouldn't want something that truly has absolutely nothing to do with it to try and be construed into a crime, especially if you had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.